years. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes.
Hello, listeners. This is the second half of Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, USA on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and others in the world on our program, and I guarantee, my friends, it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. We are the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, and now we have listeners in over 25 different countries, as well as in Seattle, across the United States, and in Canada. I'd like to start off our program and just go right to the interview. Phoenix, are you there?
I am right here, Ted. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, wonderful. My pleasure. I want to give my listeners a little bit of background about Phoenix. She's one of the best psychic healers in the United States. She's an amazing healer and specializes in stress reduction and balancing the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels of one's being. She's a Reiki master teacher and a master ear calendar and is certified in hypnotherapy, reflexology, and amacara, which is a midwife to those leaving the physical. She also specializes in creative visualization, a present and past life regression, and uses ancient rituals for healing. She has been, for the last 2 years, also a producer and host of her own program on cable TV called Phoenix Rising in the Long Island, New York area, and soon will be expanding. During her show, she interviews and panels with different professions, including paranormal investigators, psychics, mediums, health food shop owners, animal education, rescue, and all kinds of interesting people. Phoenix is coming to us live from Long Island, New York today. Phoenix, welcome to the program. So good to have you on.
So good to be here. And as I sit and I talk to you, I'm looking around. I'm sitting in my living room looking at the sliders because I don't dare sit outside because sometimes the raccoons and the birds get a little rowdy and it might be difficult for you to hear me. But here on Long Island at a little after 6, the sun is, you know, beginning its descent for the evening. I'm surrounded by beautiful flowers. Three lovely rescue cats that allow me to live with them, and assorted black-capped chickadees, red-winged blackbirds, egrets, and, of course, hawks, you know, flying over the pond. So it couldn't be more perfect, you know, to talk to you and the listeners today.
Oh, how nice. How nice. Well, you know, one thing, Phoenix, I always like to ask my guests is how they became interested in what they're doing now. How did you become a spiritual healer?
I was thinking about that because you and I chatted about that yesterday, you know, how we were going to start the show off with my interview. And for me, in this lifetime that I'll stick with for now, I was always adverse to going to traditional doctors, even as a small child. You know, here I am being honest in front of goodness knows how many people. I would lock myself in the bathroom, Ted, and I would wait for a good amount of time to go by because my parents did not drive, that I knew we could not take public transportation to take me to a regular doctor. I much preferred going to my maternal grandmother's house and having whatever it was that she cooked up. You know, whether it would be tea with different herbs or even, you know, good old Jewish penicillin, you know, chicken soup, something like that. And I always managed to become, you know, healthy, get back into a state of homeostasis with as few antibiotics as possible. You know, including having, you know, abscesses and things like that, that I left a doctor's office at one time. I refused to allow him to touch me. And where that should have gone through my bloodstream and made me very, very ill, it did not. So for whatever healing modalities were out there, I also know that my guardian angels and my spirit guides, although as a child I was not probably well aware of them, I am very well aware of them at this time.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, one interesting thing, too, and I know my listeners would be interested in this, too, is how you communicate with animals who've passed on.
Oh, my goodness. I was really pulled out of the closet on that one about 2 years ago when I began my show. The woman that I was interviewing is one of those that was very much at the base of my getting onto TV and you know, getting me out of my quiet zone and putting me out there into the public, along with Lee Moorhead, who you interviewed very recently. And I understand that Lee's coming back to you, too. She's a darling, and she's going to be on my show very soon, too.
Wonderful.
I had always been doing Reiki on animals. And doing Reiki for me just is one of the most blessed things that I could ever do, to do Reiki, to do the, you know, the energetic healings, chakra illuminations. For me, it's like heaven on earth for me, you know, to be able to assist people like this. Wonderful. And about 10 years ago, I was referred to a woman that lives in West Hampton. She had a rescue dog named Bradley. And Bradley was this beautiful black poodle Labrador mix, and his humans adored him. He had some health issues, and he could not walk properly. When I got to the house, you know, the human father would pick him up and carry him to where, you know, it was easier for me to work on him, and I thought I was, quote-unquote, just doing Reiki, you know, scanning his body and doing the sacred symbols where I needed to and, you know, following my guides. With Reiki, you get out of your own way and you let the energy flow through you, and it's guided by a much higher source. I started telling the mother, the human mother, you know, what I was finding. Her name is Mary Jane, and she called the dog's veterinary neurologist, and they checked him up, and everything that I found was validated. And Ted, I thought it was the energy that I was feeling through my hands, and in reality what was happening is Bradley was talking to me, but I was, I guess, a little too dense at that time to hear it. And I was asked to come to do some animal fundraisers and do Reiki on the animals. And I started coming out with comments to the owners, to the humans, about what their animals were saying and doing and interacting. And I was quite amazed because they kept saying, oh, my gosh, how did you know that? How did you know this? And so when Lorraine was on my show, she said, you really have to come out of that hidden closet. You are an animal communicator. And I said, that's a little shaky because that's a huge responsibility. And what I'm learning over the 10 years or so of doing it consciously is that it's like becoming bilingual, only I don't have a Rosetta Stone to practice with. And I believe that if not all, so many of us have this, if we would just sit down and be quiet and listen. And I do live, I've always lived with animals. And for the past 4 years, I've lived with Lolita and Bella. They are my rescues. And Bella came over to me in a rescue place, sat on my foot, slapped me in the leg, and said to me very clearly, you're taking me home with you. And my name is not Bluebell, which is what they named her. The week before, I had gone, I'd say about 50 miles one way to adopt Lolita, which there was no really traditional reason for doing that because there are so many rescue areas here. I live on a farm. There's quick access, you know, to cats and whatever, but she was very specific also. And most recently, I went to meet friends for dinner about 4 months ago. I had no intention of getting any other animals. And my cats speak to me in a very subtle way. Without even realizing it, we have these conversations. And other people's animals speak to me much more clearly. It's like hearing English in my head, or I'm seeing almost like a sign language, or they show me things. So if it's something to do gastrically or with their bowels or whatever, they will show me, or they'll give me the feeling in my own body, as humans are starting to do this with me also. And standing by a Petco waiting for my friend, I hear this very sweet voice say, I'm very frightened. I have to go home with you. And Ted, I looked around to see what other human was standing there that I could give them this message that there's an animal in Petco that has to go home with you. Mm. There was no one else there. It was me. Mm. And it turned out that that was Oliver. And if anyone goes to my Facebook page, they will see pictures of Oliver. He's a lovely boy. He's orange and white. And I imagine, and I can't even say I guess, I know he's in the perfect home because he has a major health issue. Mm-hmm. He has an autoimmune disorder, which he's not contagious to the other two, but he needs to be in the home of someone that will give him the proper herbs, as prescribed by his Chinese doctor, mm-hmm. and be available to do Reiki on him constantly when needed, because his poor little feet break open and bleed. And since I have him, he has not had one major outbreak of this pododermatitis.
Isn't that wonderful?
Which is just, it really, it's amazing. And I have to tell the people, you know, that are listening and to our conversation here is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. To me, this is so humbling, and it's such a blessing that, Ted, I cry sometimes, and I'm so touched that me, that has this this beautiful blessing and responsibility to be able to assist others. Mm-hmm. You know, it just really takes my breath away at times.
Well, you've been given this gift, I think, to help raise the consciousness of people that to know that when their pet, for example, when their pet passes on, that there's no such thing as death, that they do exist.
Oh my goodness, do they ever mm-hmm. exist? Mm-hmm. One of the testimonials that Carol, your wonderful person, mm-hmm. put on my page mm-hmm. is by a woman, Eileen, mm-hmm. and her dog Wendy had passed over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And Wendy spoke to me in many physical communications. Wendy was a very tiny little chihuahua, ancient soul. And I would hold Wendy wrapped in her little blankets next to my chest, and it would just start coming out. And I would not remember what I say unless it's something really so off the wall, even mm-hmm. for me. I don't remember what comes out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And Wendy had a lot to say, and Wendy did cross over the Rainbow Bridge. And after Wendy crossed over and was getting settled in, she had a few messages for me to give to her human. Okay. And they were really very funny. They were things I had no way of knowing. She has since adopted three other little dogs, mm-hmm. and she wants Wendy to come back. And Wendy did say Wendy would come back, mm-hmm. but your house is too noisy for me to come back to now. And also, this was embarrassing to say to her, that she had to stop picking on her ex-husband because she was being very judgmental and critical of him. And what Wendy showed me is that she was wagging her finger at this man.
Oh, how interesting.
So, it was a little uncomfortable for me to say to this very nice lady, but we all know, no one knows what goes on behind anyone else's closed doors.
Sure.
So Wendy came to this gentleman's rescue to have his very nice ex-wife tone it down a little bit, you know, relax, take a deep breath, don't be so judgmental, you know. And they do have a nice relationship, but some of the messages are just, they are beyond my wildest imagination. A gentleman who I had suggested, you know, for you to have on your show, Joe Giaquinto, a very dear friend of mine. He's a paranormal investigator and mm-hmm. photographer and a very, very fascinating gentleman. He referred me to a friend of his here on Long Island, but further west, closer to New York City. Mm-hmm. I never met her. Mm-hmm. I just knew she had a cat named Rosie. Mm-hmm. And I hope she's listening because Rosie was amazing. And Rosie's name is spelled R-O-S-I-E, and after the small E is a big capital E. And I have the directions. I get to the woman's home, and I walk in, and there is this magnificent large male, Maine Coon. His name was Hercules, and he was very verbal. I walked in. He gave me a look as if he was looking at something so beneath him that it was a struggle to stay in the same room, and he said, "You are not here for me." And I said, no, I'm not, you know, but thank you for letting me in. And it was, and I tried not to laugh. I didn't want to be disrespectful.
Sure.
And then we went up 5 or 6 steps to this salon area where her bedroom suite was. And the female human had a friend there who was seated on her bed. She was taking notes. They had a tape recorder. And the human mother also took notes. And Rosie had a lot to tell me. She had a lot of issues going on. And I sat on the floor, and there was a coffee table in front of me, and Rosie sat under the coffee table facing me. And we had this lovely chat. I asked her questions. She told me to be quiet. She'll tell me what she wants to tell me. And some of them are very, very outspoken and very strong personalities. The reading went for about an hour and a half, Ted.
Wow.
And in that reading, I remember saying to her, you know, there were other cats there. There was a black and white cat that wasn't there in the physical. And she acknowledged and validated each animal that came through from the other side.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
And one thing Rosie said that was quite lovely, Rosie showed me that this woman holds her and Hercules to her chest and rocks and hums. And I asked her, I said, do you hold them and hum to them, hum songs to them? And she said, yes, I do. I said, well, I want to let you know that Rosie is saying she so appreciates this because it reminds her of when her birth mother would purr and nurse her, and she would be almost like rocking in her body.
Oh, you know? Isn't that sweet?
And it made so much sense. And when Rosie was done, she said, I am done. And in case I didn't get that, she turned around, showed her behind to me, and flipped her tail up.
Oh.
The end is basically what Rosie said to me.
Oh, isn't that funny?
It is funny.
Phoenix,
I know people, when they meet me and they know what I do, they would like me to give them answers immediately.
Sure.
And not every animal wants to talk immediately, but
sure.
I need to share something because I have to say it must be somebody listening. I'm getting two things. And if this is resonating for anyone and you could call in sometime or you could access Ted or my email page. I'm pretty sure you have my email page up there.
Phoenix,
animal that's been coming to me, and this is since early this morning, is a bulldog, not the French kind, the bigger face bulldog. I believe it is a he, and he has something is bothering his teeth. I'm getting the lower jaw on the right-hand side. And it's bothering him so much that he's having trouble eating. He's drooling more than I guess this breed would drool anyway because of the jowls. And he's drooling a bit something. Even if you can't call us or anything, have him checked at your vet. I don't know if it's an overabundance of tartar or I'm getting that there's something stuck between the gum and the tooth. So to help this poor little guy out, who's not so little, is to get him to the vet. And the other one that's coming through, and was coming through when you were interviewing your earlier guest, is this is not a cat or a dog. This is, I don't know if it is a, it's in the weasel family.
A ferret?
So what is it called?
A ferret?
That people have?
A ferret.
A ferret, thank you. Because I'm seeing very small eyes close together, and I'm getting the smell, like a, you know, a ferret smell.
Interesting.
And the ferret's food needs to be changed. They're giving him, whoever has this adorable little ferret who is extremely frisky but has slowed down quite a bit over the last few days, very lethargic. Something is wrong with the food. The food is spoiled, or you're giving him the wrong food.
You know, it could have been, Patricia could have a ferret in Italy. I don't know. I'll call her back after the show.
Ask her, because it would make sense if it was us, because it came through during that period of time.
Sure.
You know, it's not a very young animal. I'm not getting old, but I'm getting it's not a baby.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Phoenix, before
and then I have a lot of dogs coming in.
Okay.
A lot. It's almost like there is a community meeting here to tell owners, and I think this is a group consciousness coming through, to please pay attention to the food that you are feeding us.
Okay.
Cats also, but very, very strong in the dogs, which for me is interesting. That's how I know I'm not getting in my own way, because I live with the cats. So I would think if I was getting in my own way, I would be leaning more to the felines, because I don't have dogs at home anymore. But the dogs are having an issue because there's not enough moisture in the food. When you buy processed foods, I will not name any brands, they need to be 80% moisture.
Okay.
Cats and dogs are not vegetarians, and there are people out there, the cats just chimed in, cats are not vegetarians, and I'm a vegetarian. I do not feed my cats vegetarian. They are carnivores. I am not.
Interesting.
They have the teeth and the intestinal tract for meat. As a human, I don't, but as you know, that's my choice also.
Sure.
But for people to pay more attention, it really is coming through, and I've never had this before, and I know I'm talking very fast, that's how I know it's not me either, is there's such a group consciousness about please pay attention to what you're feeding us. We need more moisture. We need more fresh water. So I will take a breath now, and I'll ask them to, like, slow down a little so you might be able to say something, Ted.
All right. Well, I just want to take a station announcement for those who are just tuning in. This
yes.
is Out of This World International Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Seattle, Washington, USA on 1150 AM. We have on our program Phoenix Redhawk. She's one of the best psychic healers in the United States, and she does communicate with animals. I was going to ask, for those who'd like to call in, our phone number here at the studio is area code 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free within Western Washington, our number is 1-888-298-5569. Phoenix, I hope you don't mind me asking, but I've had several cats and also a couple of dogs in my past, and I was wondering if you pick up anything from their spirits.
Basically, you're having a group meeting here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have one cat that was extremely dominant over everybody else.
Big boy.
Who is that?
His name is Big Boy. He's a big kitty.
Big Boy.
Yeah.
He's extremely, he's not bad and he's really not fresh, but Big Boy, like another cat that I know here on Long Island, really felt that his presence, his essence of who he was not the physical body of a cat, that he had come from, what I'm hearing him say is, I've come from bigger stock.
From a dog.
So when I hear coming, not even a dog, when I hear coming from bigger stock, coming from a more non-domesticated animal, previous lifetime, he has been with you before. He's been with you as a dog before.
Oh, wonderful.
But before he was a dog with you, he was Big Boy the cat with you. Very similar personality in the dog, Elsa also. But Ted, he has come from, it's not a jungle cat that I'm getting, but I'm getting a non-domestic, I'm getting coyote or a wolf.
Really?
So you need to tell me, because I'm getting goosebumps all over here. As Big Boy, or as the dog prior to being Big Boy, did he have any, the chills are wild, did he have any coyote or wolf movements?
He would go out, and I just want to tell, we are getting a lot of calls in. Please be patient.
When did he have yellow eyes? Is the dog or a cat?
The kitty have yellow eyes.
But in the previous lifetime, he had yellow eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
When he was coyote or wolf, he had yellow eyes. And that is, when he came back as a dog, he wasn't as insulted, which I think is very funny.
Uh-huh.
He was not as insulted as when he came back as a cat. He said, I know that the Egyptians thought we were gods, and we were, and we still are. But he liked it better when he ran wild.
Oh, how interesting. Because what he would do is, hold on, my caller friends. We are getting calls all over the country coming in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're getting calls all over the place. But at any rate, Big Boy would go out and he'd hunt and he'd get these big rabbits who were half, almost his size, and then he'd eat them. And he would chase other dogs out of our yard. He would act like a dog, very territorial.
And that was when he was Big Boy the Cat.
Big Boy the Cat.
That would really liken him more to being more the coyote wolf type species.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And he had no fear of these dogs.
No, no, he had absolutely no fear of nothing. And my dad and I at the time, this is back in the 90s, we had a farm outside Olympia, Washington. We were just astounded. He would chase out these big dogs, much, much bigger than him.
When I was a kid, we had a cat named Missy. And Missy would go out. We had like a postage stamp-sized front lawn with a hedge around it. Mm-hmm. And Missy knew exactly what bus my mother was getting off of when she came home from work. Missy would go outside, and if anyone walked their dog past our house, Missy, this little white pussycat, would jump out and try to beat up the dog.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's amazing.
She was my protector, but she also, Ted, and I'm embarrassed, but I'll let you listeners hear this. I was a little girl when I got her. I would dress her up. I would put lipstick on her lips. I'd polish her nails and dress her in doll clothes and put her in the baby stroller and walk with her down this main street. And this darling cat never ran away.
Never ran away. How funny.
So, she tolerated my insanity, I have no idea.
Oh, how funny. How funny. Well, we have several callers, people calling in. Would you like to take some calls?
Well, let's take a call, and if I can help you, I will. And if I cannot help you at this moment, I will post something on my Facebook page with an answer when it comes to me. So I hope everybody is okay with that and understands that.
Okay. We have two Carols and Ricky on the line calling from Massachusetts. Please hold on. We'll get to everyone. Carol from Kent, are you there? We'll let my sound engineer get a hold of her there.
Where's Carol from?
Carol, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. Hey. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Carol, you're from Kent, Washington?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
wonderful.
I am.
Well, welcome to Out of This World. You're speaking with Phoenix Redhawk, one of the best psychic healers in the United States.
Carol,
wonderful.
I
wanted to ask you if you could pick up on,
from Kent,
we
Washington.
Had a little Vishon.
You heard me talk about Bella, the cat that sat on my foot and slapped me and said, I'm going home with you. She came from the Kent animal shelter at the time that my oldest son was living in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, really?
So it's a little synchronicity here.
Yeah, that is.
Yes.
Well, we came home one night, and we found our beloved little dog dead on the floor. And we've always been curious what happened to her, because she didn't seem sick. There was nothing wrong with her as far as leaving her. She had water. She had food. We just came home, and she was gone. And so,
was she between 5 and 7 years of age?
No, she was. She was actually 10.
She was 10. What happened to her when she was between 5 and 7? Was she ill? Did she have something going on in the lung area, her throat, anything like that between the ages of 5 and 7?
No.
Not that you know of.
No, not that we were aware of anyway.
Okay. What I'm getting, and if anything is different, I'll post it on my Facebook page.
Okay.
Because obviously we're on a time constraint here, and I'm working as quickly as I can to get everybody. What was her name?
It's H-A-I-L-E-Y. Haley.
L-E-Y.
Haley.
Haley. Very sweet name. I like that. When you found her dead, I'm telling you right now, it was very sharp pain, very sudden. She did not suffer.
Okay.
And where the pain was I'm getting it in my throat down into my breastplate. So what I'm getting the feeling, and I'm getting goosebumps, and thank you, Spirit, is that it was some type of an aneurysm. And as I'm saying aneurysm, I have chills all over my entire body.
Okay.
So she did feel a sharp pain, Carol, But that was the end of the sharp pain. And then her guides were there with her. She did not suffer at all.
Because, you know, what was strange is we came home and we had some pads down on the floor, and mm-hmm. it looked like she just fell to her knees and she just stayed there. So
yeah.
there wasn't any movement of the paper around her. So that does make sense.
Yeah.
You know, that she just fell and just, that was it.
Her spirit is around you right now.
Years ago, a very dear friend, Ron Boyd, out here on Long Island, did a reading for me, and it was way before I realized, you know, the gifts that I was being blessed with. And he would talk to me about the chills and the goosebumps. He said, "That's your angels are giving you validation. You know, follow your instincts." Mm-hmm. And for you too, Carol, when you sense Haley around you, talk to her, because she still visits you.
In fact, we took a picture. We had made the bed, and our housekeeper had made the bed. She walked out of the room, came back in, and there was a body print of where our dog always laid.
Definitely.
And so she took a picture of it for us.
Yes.
And it was really strange, because we felt like she was around us, but to actually have a picture of the bed and then a dent, you know,
Carol,
where she always laid.
Send that to me. If you look on the page that Ted and his Carol made for me, you'll see my my email address. I would love you to send that to me.
Okay.
I will do that.
Haley's not done with you yet. You will feel Haley. Say you're wearing jeans or a long skirt or something. You might think it's the wind or something if you're sitting out on the back deck or the back porch. It's Haley. Haley is staying very close in between your legs, leaning more toward the inside of your right leg.
Okay.
All right, so be aware. You're not going to trip over her, but she's there. And her leaving the dent in the bed is to let you know. They give us these beautiful signs, Carol. Ted and I were talking off the air yesterday, and my fiancé passed. It's 12 years now, and he's still very much with me. He let me know he's going to be here with me today and help me with messages. When Ted was interviewing that fascinating woman prior to me, I asked for the guidance of my angels, and it is a beautiful, clear afternoon here in New York. Just fluffy little clouds, and it was like a lightning flash in and outside my house, saying, "We're here.
Nice.
We're
wow.
here. Don't
nice.
Be nervous. Whatever messages are supposed to come through, they're going to come through."
Well, I have to tell you that this entire studio has gotten much, much lighter since you've been on the air, and I want to thank you for that.
It's so strange, and there go the goosebumps
coming.
Again. But
yeah.
What I want to tell you, that's a funny thing. My sweetheart's name is Scott. And what he does when I tend to, at times, forget that he's around, Carol, he will mess with the hot water in the shower. And he will turn it on full blast. And I'll turn it down, and he turns it up, and there's nothing wrong with the washers. There's nothing wrong with the knobs in the shower. They've been checked. They are perfectly fine. When he wants my attention, and I'm not giving it to him, he turns the hot water on all the way. And
done.
Then I have to either, yeah, and it's usually when I'm not slowing down. It's usually when I'm not taking time for myself to regenerate my own energy and things like that. So just like he's doing it, Haley's doing the same thing for you. She's definitely there. And
Phoenix,
you're really blessed to have that kind of relationship.
Wonderful, wonderful. Carol, thank you. I'm sorry to move on. We have a lot of other callers coming on. And Carol, thank you so much for calling. We'd like to go on to the next caller, Ricky in Massachusetts.
Hello.
Oh, hello there. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I know Ricky in Massachusetts.
Hello, Phoenix. How are you?
How are you, my dear?
Good,
Ted, this is Ricky. Ricky, this is Ted.
Hello.
Nice to meet you, Ricky.
Thank you very much.
What can I do for you today, my dear friend?
Well, I went to the car dealer today to do a trade-in. He's only offering me right now $500 for my vehicle, and the value was about $4,500, $4,600. I think I could probably get a better deal from him. But what's your feeling on the?
Well, that's a little bit out of my field of quote unquote expertise. But what I'm getting is, not to be greedy, not to be materialistic, and to make a vision board tonight. And I don't know why tonight, but tonight. So do you know how to make a vision board?
No, I do not. I just open sacred space.
Well, get a piece of a plain paper like oak tag, like 8.5 by 11 or legal size, and cut out a picture of the vehicle you want.
Okay.
Cut out a picture of the money, the words of the money of what you are willing to pay. A picture of yourself handing the person the money. A picture of you and that person signing the contract for the vehicle.
Okay.
Because what we say, what we think, and our actions all are very, very powerful. So Spirit doesn't want you getting stuck in the material thing with how much for the trade-in, how much for this and that and the other thing. If you really want this other vehicle and it's meant for you to have it, put it out on the vision board. And I know you know how to meditate and pray over it. Get some smudge and do clearing over it. And smudge and clear your present vehicle also. Take any attachments that other people coming in and out of your vehicle might have left there. Because as I'm talking fast, what I'm getting is that there's other energies in your vehicle that is not letting it shine the way it should. So get your sage, get your sweetgrass, get your pine. Also get pine, Ricky, and make a combination of the sweetgrass, the white sage, and the pine, and smudge from the undercarriage, the wheels, because no one did anything to be bad, to bring negative energy to your vehicle, but your vehicle, maybe just from being on the road and traveling, has picked up some weight that it doesn't need.
And Ricky, I'd like to offer this to you, too. My website is www.outofthisworld1150.com, and my email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Go ahead and email me, and I live in an area where there's sagebrush everywhere. I'll be very happy to send you a bunch of it so you can use it for smudging. Take a couple days, but it will get there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and let me know what happens, and you could let Ted know what happens, too.
Let me know.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. You, be
wonderful.
Well.
Wonderful. And now we have Carol in Seattle calling. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Carol. Welcome to the program. So nice of you to call in.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Phoenix, this is Carol, my wonderful friend who does the website design for my program.
It's me, Carol.
Hi, Phoenix. How are you?
Cool to talk to you. We've emailed back and forth in the past.
Yes, I feel like I know you. I tried to make your website look pretty, but at least informative, right?
I have to tell you, when I read everything that you wrote on the website after you read the letters from the people, I wanted to make an appointment with myself.
Oh. Well, I'm sure it's all true. It's all wonderful. They all said glowing things about you, and I'm very excited to be talking to you right now.
Oh, and I feel the same way about you. This is so, you have to come to New York. We have to meet in person, and I have to have you and Ted on Phoenix Rising. That would be so awesome.
Are you kidding? I would love to come to New York. My
I'd
family's from upstate, so.
Good. All right, Ted, we all have to make plans off the air of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like fun.
Absolutely.
So how can I help you today, my dear Carol?
Well, I have millions of questions, but I'll try and narrow it down to at least two.
From a million to two, you're...
Well, I always have questions about my health. I've been kind of going through some health issues in the last 6 months. I just want to make sure I'm on the right path. I've really changed my diet a lot, and I've been trying to...
I just wrote the word gastric down.
Sorry?
I just... before you said that, I wrote the word gastric down.
Oh, that's interesting.
What's going on in your lower abdomen... you don't have to tell me. I mean, we're on the air. But what I'm getting is a heaviness in your lower abdomen, that things are not moving the way they should be. I don't know if there's a constipation thing going. I don't know if there's fibroids, a very small canal. But I'm getting something that And I'm not getting that it's pain. I'm getting it as a physical feeling in my own body of almost really bloated, immensely bloated, that I almost feel like, you know, Willy Wonka's chocolate factory when the girl eats the blueberries and she pops
out? Veruca. I think Veruca's I know who she is.
So that's, but not light and fluffy like a blueberry. I'm getting like a very, like a Humpty Dumpty kind of heaviness in the lower part of my body when I talk to you.
Well, I had some Reiki done yesterday or 2 days ago, and there was a really cold sensation that came out from my hip area.
Okay.
It was cold. It was almost like shooting cold sparks. It was bizarre. And I have a hip issue. I've had some joint issues, so it could possibly be stemming from that. But
it could be. Are you a Reiki practitioner yourself?
No, I'm not. My daughter is.
Okay, well, wonderful. When she does the Reiki on you, when I interpret different temperatures in someone's body, say I'm experiencing warmth or tingling working on someone, because I've been a Reiki master teacher for over 25 years, and I absolutely love it. It goes right
down
with doing everything else that I do, Anam Cara, the hypnosis and everything. As a practitioner, when we move around a person's energy field and all of a sudden there is a shift, and in yours, the cold, the shooting like a cold.
Yeah.
What I would do as the practitioner is I would feather the energy where it was still warm, where it was more consistent, and feather the energy into the area that was either vacant or cold or, different, that it was profoundly different. So talk to your daughter and have her try that.
Okay, sealing that off. Okay.
No email. So talk to her about feathering it down.
Okay.
And then coming from below, from Mother Earth energy, and bringing it up. So the next time she does Reiki on you for yourself before she begins, I would like you, whether you're lying down or sitting in a chair or sitting on the couch, I'd like you to sit quietly and take between 3, 6, or 9, those are special numbers, deep in-breaths through your nose, hold it for a few moments, and exhale. And this could go for everyone listening.
Okay.
And as you're doing that, be aware of the soles of your feet. And using your imagination, imagine beautiful silver-blue energy lines coming out of the soles of your feet, going down through the crust of Mother Earth's surface, going down through all what I like to imagine is the beautiful colors of every layer of Mother Earth, the underground rivers and waterfalls, right down to her beautiful center, to her beautiful heart, which, in my training is a beautiful lapis blue. So the energy lines from you, from the soles of your feet, hooking down right into Mother Earth, and start to feel her energy coming up to you.
Okay.
And while she's sending that energy up to you, bring your awareness to the crown of your head. And as if it was a little disc, allow it to open and allow the ethereal energy of Father Sky, of the moon, of the sun, to all beautifully shimmering, showering into the crown of your head and over your body, all of that ethereal energy. So you're having Mother Earth energy coming up, you're having the ethereal energies coming down, balancing you. And stay in that state of mind while your daughter or another Reiki practitioner works on you, and you're going to notice a tremendous difference in the quality of your healing and the progression of your coming to a healed state.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
The difference between being healed and being cured. You know, you could cure someone of a disease, but if they haven't been healed, the disease is going to come back, or the condition is going to come back.
Okay. I even forgot what my other question was.
Please let me know.
I will. Thank you, Phoenix. I really
appreciate
it.
You're welcome, Carol. You have a beautiful, blessed night.
And you too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, Carol. Have a great day.
Oh, she's a darling.
Yeah. Well, she does the web design for me, and I so appreciate her help. That's one thing I don't know how to do.
Oh, she's excellent.
Oh,
you know, I I wanted to interrupt myself, if I may. You know, listening to your earlier show, talking about the whales and the dolphins and everything.
Yeah.
Everything in, around, on, and through Mother Earth are all alive. The, mm-hmm. There are stone people. I mean, everything is alive. And when I'm sure you know about when we had Hurricane Sandy here.
Right, right.
So when we had Hurricane Sandy, my cottage is surrounded on three sides, Ted, by these beautiful, immense pine trees. I live on a tree and vegetable farm.
Mm-hmm.
And as you sit and look out through the sliding glass doors to the back, you're looking east, really northeast, mostly to the east.
Mm-hmm.
And in the center was this magnificent tree that I, from the moment I moved in here over 9 years ago, I always called the grandfather tree.
Mm.
They all have a presence, and when we have a nor'easter, these trees really come together and protect my little home.
Wonderful.
So we had Hurricane Sandy, and the sliding glass doors were really brand new, maybe 2 months old, so they're very strong, very secure. But the storm, and she hadn't even really kicked up to full speed yet, was pushing the glass that it was visibly moving.
Mm, really?
So I thought I'd have to spend the night in my bedroom with the cats just in case the glass broke in. And I called my landlord, and his adult son came over, and he was like, gee, Phoenix, there's no more plywood to put up against the glass. You know, all the stores are closed. Everybody was really hunkering down at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So they did put sandbags around the base of the door so no water would come into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted, as I walked off the deck to come around and in my front door, they pulled away in their truck, and I heard this huge crack and a bang.
Hmm.
And through the years of the grandfather tree that is much older, probably older than I am, mm-hmm. it always leaned because the wind always came from the northeast, so mm-hmm. that the tree always leaned into the south.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know that the grandfather tree fell across my back deck into the north?
Oh, wow.
It fell in the complete opposite direction of where the wind was blowing.
Wow.
And where it had a slight lean to.
Wow.
There was never a crack in its trunk.
Hmm.
There was never anything wrong with this tree.
Mm-hmm.
It had basically sacrificed its life to save me. The width of it covered the 10-foot sliders.
Hmm.
Wow. So it's more than the whales, the dolphins, and the sharks.
Sure.
and everything. It's, we are in a community of other species, and we need mm-hmm. to care for and respect one another.
I agree. Totally agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm curious, Phoenix, do you get impressions of what might be occurring later this year for the United States and the world, or maybe in the coming years?
What I get is people being very angry and egos really coming, maybe it's full circle is coming into my head, you know, that hopefully the majority of people realize that the ego is a false presence
mm-hmm.
and to get off of it, and enough with the different political parties, enough with I have 100 times more money than this poor soul that who's, you know, that their child is living on crackers given by a neighbor.
Sure.
This thinking of because someone has more money that they're better than someone that does not.
Sure.
This horrible imbalance in ego and in caring and in acceptance for each other. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not very big on titles. You know, mm-hmm. we were talking the other day on the show. The only reason I believe titles come in, I think we talked about it last night too, is so you know the type of person you're going to for a type of service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't come to me for to mow your lawn because that's not going to happen, or, you know, to give you a haircut because you would look really bad if I did that. So we have different titles for the types of jobs we do here in the physical world.
Sure.
But other than that, Ted, I don't think we need them. I don't think we need to separate moderate Jew, Reformed Jew, Hasidic Jew, Episcopalian, Protestant, Roman Catholic, Sufi. I don't think we need to separate ourselves from each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this separation has fed into the ego because people think that they have a different supreme being helping them out.
Well, I think we're all children of God, and that's
definitely
something.
When people ask me what I am, and I say I'm a wild woman who's a child of the universe, who is a child of God. When we start having compassion and looking at other people, you know, I had a thought, and I know I had talked to some people on the show about this a while ago. If we were all blind for a year and didn't know what the other person looked like, but we all were able to function and do whatever we needed to do, but we couldn't see what the other person looked like. Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be amazing.
We couldn't count money, but, you know, we would go into the stores, get what we needed, and give them and whatever fair trade, you know, was going on. It would just have all of the falseness, all of that insanity that makes people feel better than another, or that someone is beneath you because of how they dress, possibly,
or
what they do for a living. You know, we all pretty much put on our pants the same way.
Right.
Pretty much. Some of us can be really unique and silly, but, you know, you understand the point that I'm making. I think, you know, that we are making progress. And, you know, as was said in the earlier show, there are global meditations. There are candlelight vigils for the healing of this beautiful planet that we live on.
Sure. I have to tell you that my guest a week from today is John Hogue. He's the world's authority in Nostradamus.
And oh, my gosh.
One of the things that Nostradamus predicted many, many centuries ago was that after the 2030s, 2040s, there would be 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and spiritual advancement for this planet. It would truly be a golden age. After after that period was over with, we would become a spacefaring a race that would basically roam the universe and so become like a Star Trek civilization. And so the kind of oneness that you've talked about, and also I think it exists in the fifth dimension too, beyond this dimension, that and people access that. If they're lucky, they can access it now, like you, and I think I've got the ability to access it too. But
yes,
normally,
you do.
But often people will access it when they pass on from this dimension, and then they realize the truth about life, basically, and the fifth dimension and higher dimensions is God's domain, where there's no lies, there's just truth.
We talked earlier, so many things in this physical life are an illusion. You know, we touched briefly that how time is an illusion. You know, when you spoke to your guest earlier, it was 2 o'clock in Seattle. It was 11 o'clock in Italy, and it was 5 o'clock here in New York. So each of the three of us are living in a quote-unquote different time, but all of that time is happening at the exact same moment.
My foster mother, who was a master psychic, she always used to tell me that in the fifth dimension, everything happens simultaneously. And initially it was hard for my human mind to wrap around that concept because how could everything happen simultaneously? But it does. And your analogy about time is a good example of that.
Yeah, you know, and it was so clear, you know, when she was when you were calling her and talking to her from Italy, and it's like, my goodness, it truly is an illusion. You know, I have a dear friend who's an astrologer, and she will try to explain also to get us to wrap our human minds around time, which is difficult. It's like being in an elevator building. What's happening on the first floor is also happening on the second, third, fourth, fifth, all the way up to the 50th, 60th floor, all happening at the same time.
Absolutely.
And so this happening with your show happening at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 11 o'clock is a really, it's an example I can wrap my human brain around.
Well, I know that there's people listening to this program in India right now, and in India it is now 4:30 in the morning. In Europe, it's early in the morning around, well, it depends where you are.
1 o'clock in the morning in Paris.
Correct. And in Sydney, Australia, it is now about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, Saturday morning.
Right, and it's all happening at the same exact time.
It's all happening at the same exact time. Before, we've got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to say quickly that for those people listening, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Seattle, Washington, in the USA. Our toll-free number here is 1-888-298-5569, or the direct phone number is 425-373-5527. 1 week from today, we'll be having John Hogue, who's the world's authority on Nostradamus, talking about this year and the coming things he sees for the coming years, as well as Pam Grout, a famous New York Times bestseller author, on the virtues of being spiritually positive. Phoenix, we have about a minute or two left. I'd love to have you have the last words on the show and wrap up today's show, please.
Hey, before I wrap up, and I will do that in a moment, I would like to suggest a book to everyone. They could find it on Amazon.com, and the author is D. Lieberman, L-I-E-B-E-R-M-A-N, and the name of the book is The Shaman's Tale, T-A-L-E. It's a fascinating true life of a young man in his early 30s on his journey unfolding to be a shaman, and that leads me in to tell everyone, follow your dream, take a journal and write down your experiences, what animals are coming to you, what dreams come to you. Don't limit yourself to anything. If you dream it, your most beautiful dreams can be your reality. You know, trust in God, trust in your angels and your higher power, because for me, I know my life is beyond my wildest dreams, and my angels and my guides will never let me down. They love me more than I could ever love myself. And Ted, thank you so much for having me on your show. The hour went so fast for me. And someday I hope I could come back someday, because there's still so much more that I'd like to share with the listeners. You have an amazing show. I've learned so much just from, you know, that last hour prior to me speaking. And we're all a community.